Hello, everybody. This is the CCMP podcast. I'm your host, Carlson. This episode is year three of the symposium, and we have a double installment of the year that was 1996 and 1997. But first, we have news for guys from the men's room. So let's head on into the men's room. All right, this is from CSPNet.com, a source for convenient news online. And it's about the Molson Coors beer company. And they've got a new beer that they're going to roll out in Canada in the next few months here, it looks like. It says Coors Light Iced Tea, and it's a tea-flavored beer. They don't know if they're going to bring it down to the U.S. or not, so keep your eyes out for that. That's all I got from the men's room this week. And now for the year that was 1996. So, in 1996, the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl, the Yankees won the World Series, the Bulls began their second three-peat in NCAA basketball, Kentucky won the national championship, and in NCAA football, Florida won the national championship in 1996. Movies that came out in 1996 were Fargo, Independence Day, and Happy Gilmore, and that would be 1996. Let's also take a look at 1997, which is actually the year of Symposium Year 3. Alright, this is 1997, the year of Symposium Year 3. In the Super Bowl, Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl. The World Series was the Florida Marlins. The NBA Championship was won by the Bulls, which was the second win on their way to a three-peat. The NCAA Basketball, Arizona won in overtime in the tournament. And in NCAA Football, this is before the BCS. The AP poll had Michigan as the national champions, and the ESPN USA poll had Nebraska as the national champion. Again, long before Tricky got there. In movies, Titanic was a movie that was released in 1997, along with the original Men in Black, and the movie Fifth Element. And that was the year 1997. Alright, just a little note here as far as year two is concerned. Jerry made a small comment about paying a large sum of money if there was videotape existing of year two. There is no videotape of year two. I will pretty much state my life on this that I did not see it. I don't have one. And as far as I know, there no videotape exists of year two. With that said, there is videotape of year three. This video, or I will say, there was videotape of year three. I do not believe that this tape still exists. If it does, I do have it. I just have to find it. But as far as I know, the videotape is no longer in existence. All right, to begin year two, Jerry is no longer living in Fayette, Iowa. So, and the story is that when he moved out, they found one of these little cups of green alcohol that had eaten through one of the cupboards in JT's house. That is the rumor that came about that these were the little drinks that Dwin gave us for the poems that he had read. you know, whether it was from the first year or the second year, all I know is that they found it when he was moving out, and he claims that it that there was a hole in the bottom of the cup and it had eaten through that and the cupboard. So with that, and okay, with that, Aaron has also gotten married in this time. And he also is planning on having a full-out ceremony in the next month or so. From the time the symposium gets over, he's going to have another ceremony. And I was supposed to be in this wedding, but it ends up that I am not in this wedding because my brother is getting married the same day. So I have to pull a trip of, this is after the symposium, of being in my brother's wedding, leaving my brother's wedding as soon as we're done with pictures and stuff, and driving up to Madison to go to the reception at Aaron's wedding. So, with that said, we're going to get into the symposium now. And I go to the road trip. The road trip starts, as per usual, with me, Boo, and Rich Steed. As we do this, we head out, and I've decided that I'm going to videotape, as I previously mentioned. And we're going to each, I've decided that everyone's going to give Aaron a little bachelor message, like, why the fuck are you getting married? And then I believe Dwin's message was even, you've already gotten married once, why the fuck are you doing this again? I believe that was the message from Dwin. So there's a bunch of messages. This tape no longer exists, as I tried to explain. But that's a whole other issue. Anyways. With that, we go to, like I said, the road trip, and it's like me, Boo, and Rich, and as we're driving out, I am in the back, and Rich is sitting up front, and Boo is sitting, it's driving. I'm drinking, and at this time, I'm drinking some hard cider. This is a pear cider, so it's a little bit more alcohol than regular beer, but I'm drinking a pear cider. It really doesn't matter. So I'm drinking, and I've had a couple, and I noticed that, and I point this out, and my mistake, for what it is I point out the fact that Rich has only had about one or two beers to my three or four, and at this point, Boo, being the instigator that he is, looks over at Rich and goes, it sounds like he's calling you out, and Rich goes, is he calling me out? Boo goes, I think he's calling you out. Of course, the entire time that this is happening, I'm sitting in the back seat going, that's not what I said. I wasn't calling him out. I was just pointing out a fact. I wasn't really, I was not calling him out. I really wasn't calling him out. Despite that, it doesn't really matter whether I was or was not calling him out, because the next thing that happened is my own fault. I take full responsibility for what I did. So what happened was, I proceeded to the fact that Rich was a much more of a drinker than I was at this time also, and I proceeded to try to go beer for beer with Rich at this point. And anytime I decided to try to stop, or I made, you know, I was whining the entire time that this was going on, and Boo just kept going, he called you out, man, he called you out. And I kept trying to deny it, but as I said, my own fault, I continued to go beer for beer with Rich at this point. And this was not a great idea. So, we're drinking on this way out, and we finally get to the bar. And Aaron meets us, and I grab the video camera, and I am completely blitzed when we get there. And I grab the video camera, and I head to walk into the bar and meet Aaron. And as I've said before and continue to say in these, is the cordial shit, which is hello fuckers. But this time it wasn't so much that, but it was just hey, and we kind of went in. So we go in and I start videotaping stuff, and they're like, what the hell's with the video camera? And I go, I just want to document all this. Of course, I am completely blit. Any term you want to use for being drunk, I was. Three sheets to the wind, blotto, shit-faced, fucked up, you name it, I was it. I was completely and utterly wasted when we got to the bar. Anyways, so I had the camera and we were going around, and I remember taking some videos and asking guys to go give me a message for Aaron. I was trying to do this without Aaron seeing it, and I don't think Aaron saw it till we got back that year and we watched the video at my house. But it was just a thing that I was trying to do. I don't know why, I just did it. Anyways, we did that, and I know other people started to show up. Mark Schlein and Adam Lewis showed up. And we had a TV in there, and I guess they were watching the Bulls game, which would have been the second championship in their second three-peat this year that they had. Now, I know that I was completely drunk at this time, and there was a small stage area in which I passed out on by like 9 o'clock, and I remember very little from that point on. I know that I got up and I got sick several times as I was throwing up. I don't remember if I ate anything once we got there or not, but I know I got sick several times. And I remember during this time, I think I got woke up when they started screaming that the Bulls won this championship. And I guess while they were screaming and celebrating this championship, that they were spraying beer and dumping beer on each other and stuff at this point after the championship was won. And I guess some got in Adam or face, and he started getting bitchy about the fact that it got in his face. I don't know. I wasn't awake at this point to know. And I guess at some point during this time, Tricky had found some old alcohol at the bar and decided that it would be a good idea to drink this. So he got into some leftovers and started drinking, which led to this. I woken up by Jerry jumping on me and wrestling around with me because I was completely blotto. And Jerry was just beating the crap out of me a little bit. Well, not beating the crap out of me, but he was jumping on me, trying to wrestle around with me. And I was completely drunk. I'm sure he was probably drunk by that point, too. And I remember having a large pitcher of water dumped on me. Now, anybody who slept this year really got fucked with most of the time. It was either water or somebody messed with it. And at one point, there was even a picture taken of several of the guys. I believe it might have even been me, Boo, and Rush laying on the stage asleep. And I know now, I remember, I think I got up at some point in the middle of the night because I was passed out by 9, but then I think I was up by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because I just couldn't sleep. I had a really bad hangover and I was just feeling like crap, so, and I couldn't really sleep anymore. It was just being cruddy. And I remember I was like either sitting in a booth or sitting on a stool or something. I think there was a few chairs, but there was no tables. It was just booths. And we were sitting around. And I remember this was prior to going to play golf that morning, that following morning, that we were playing. There was some card games going on. I don't know if there was any cash games going on, but there might have been. After I got up, and some other people were falling asleep, but there was large groups. There was small groups breaking up, and we were talking and playing cards and doing other things. And I remember starting to play spades. That was like one of the first times I had played spades. Well, I know I was up at this point, and I want to say that at this point, people were going to sleep, and some of the guys even went out and started to go to sleep in their trucks, or vehicles. I want to say that while we were in the middle of these cards games or so, at some point we had, actually I think we even had somebody come in and ask if the bar was open again, and we sent them out and said, no, this is just a private party here, and they were like, oh, okay. And then, I know, like I said, people were sleeping out of their trucks, and I believe a police officer came by at some point and kind of said that they had to come inside and sleep. They couldn't be sleeping in their cars outside like that because it was a business area and it just wasn't a good thing for them to be sleeping out in their cars. So I know that they got kicked out. They couldn't sleep in their cars that year, so there was other places they were having to sleep, either on the stage or somewhere on the floor or something. I don't know where some of them slept. I know when I slept, if I slept there, it was sleeping on the stage or passing out on the stage from that point. Like I said, this seemed to be one of the most fun years I had. I mean, we were cramped because we were playing in booths rather than on tables and stuff. But, I mean, we had tables. It was tables and booths, but there was no, like, card tables or long tables to play on. We were just playing in these booths. I mean, imagine going to, like, a McDonald's area, and that's the only thing. That's about the size of the booths that we were playing in. So, with that. So, I know we were, like I said, we were playing. There were small groups, and we were just playing some cards. I think there was some, like I said, some cash games and some other stuff. And so the next morning we were going to get ready to go play golf. Well, there was no kitchen. So instead of having a kitchen where we had to go across the street to a restaurant and eat breakfast over there, which we did. And it was a nice little restaurant. I don't remember real well about a lot of it, but I know we went over there and ate breakfast over there before we ran out to play golf. Now, as I stated in the last podcast, that this course basically makes the windmill course look like a PGA Tour course. Now, it's a nice little course. It was nice and long. It was a little 9-hole course. I remember none of the holes were really extremely tough. And, I mean, every once in a while I'd get a good shot, but I'm not a very good golfer, and like I said, if you saw us playing golf, I don't think you would really call. I mean, compared to what you see on TV, what we do really isn't golf, but we try. We play decent, but nothing that's outrageously funny, or not. I mean, what would resemble like golf? Anyways, so we're in the middle of these. We play a round of golf, and everybody's playing their own game, and it's not bad. I think I was paired with Mark and Adam at this point. I'm not sure who else was with us at this course, but I know that we were told that we could only be in like small groups of three or four or something, like we could only be in foursomes or something like that. And as we went around and played this first round. So we played and we just, nothing major. We were kind of told, you know, not to have any groups larger than foursomes, I believe. Well, we get through our first round, and there's, like, really nobody else on this course at the time. And so we decide, well, you know what, we're going to play best ball. And it's not really going to cause us to be that much faster or that much slower than what we already are. So we're gonna play this, and we're going to play, I think it was, like, six. So we were going to play 2 3-man groups of best ball. So we were going to be a group of six. And at this time, they didn't really want us to be that way, but we decided to do it anyways. So we started playing, and we were playing at a pretty good pace. Now, like I said, it was me, Mark, and Adam, and it was Jerry, Aaron, and I don't know who the other one was. I think the other group had gone back already, but we went and played this round. And as we were playing this round, some older ladies came out and decided to start playing golf. Now, we were not playing slow. We were not causing any real problems. We were not being overly, I mean, we were being our normal selves, but we were not being rude. I don't care what anybody says. It was not, we were not being outrageously bad in any way, shape, or form. Anyways, as all I know is that these old ladies didn't particularly care for the fact that they had to follow us. Again, we were playing best ball, so it wasn't like we were hitting 20,000 balls. We were moving along at a pretty good pace. Anyways, at this point, we get to the we've played through 7 holes, and we get to the 8th hole. We are at the 8th hole, and we want to say that we are playing best ball, and it's like me, Adam, and Mark are 6 under through 7 holes. To make a more clear point, we are actually Mark that is 6 under through 7 holes. So we get to the 8th hole, And as we get to the eighth hole, we're getting ready to tee off. Now, the eighth hole, I believe this is the one. The first hole starts off, and you got to go up, basically up a cliff, to get to the first hole. So the eighth hole, you're on the opposite side, and the fairway runs next to the first hole. So you have to hit off of this cliff and down and go right next to it. Well, we get ready to tee off, and as we do, the gentleman running the golf course, who was kind of a real jerk, anyways, comes out and says, "You guys have to get off the course now. We told you that you couldn't be in groups of this large and that you are disrupting the rest of these course." Now, I guess it was like there's memberships and stuff, which is probably part of the reason that they had to, that these old ladies were complaining. And like I said, they were just old ladies who wanted to bitch in the course. And of course, we headed back to the bar. In which, by the time we got back to the bar, it was getting kind of, not late, but midday. And so we started playing our World Series of Poker. And it was kind of interesting. Like I said, we were cramped, and everybody was kind of having to play around small amounts of tables. And I know we were betting pretty good, and there was some really good games. Nothing major appeared to happen during any of the real card games this year. Wasn't any major me suddenly bluffing somebody when I shouldn't have been bluffing, or just being an outrageously unusual card game for me. Nothing major really happened during card games, I know. And Adam Lewis ended up actually winning that year's tournament. So that brings year three to an end. And like I said, it was the drive home was kind of interesting. Not a lot. I mean, not major. It's just we were extremely tired, and a lot of people didn't get sleep. And I remember driving part of the way home, and Boo tried to find a place to pull over, and we took some gravel roads along the back ways for him to like try to get some sleep. And we ended up driving, and he ended up, once we took the gravel roads and he started driving back there, he kind of like suddenly started to wake up, and so we just stopped and we just continued to drive the rest of the way home. But nothing major from that point happened. So that was year three of the symposium. And when I return for year four, we will have moved again. And this time you will learn that we have moved back into Illinois and are no longer in Iowa. And we are getting closer to what is now considered the permanent home of the symposium. So with that is the end of year three. So as I bring the symposium CCMP podcast to a close for year three, I'm going to leave you with this, a series of promises that actually speak for true guys and not a broke back kind of thing, just friendship. And one that says, "When you are sad, I will help you get drunk and plot revenge against the bastard that made you sad. When you are blue, I will dislodge whatever's choking you. When you smile, I will know you finally got laid. When you are scared, I will rag on you about it every chance I get. When you are worried, I will tell you horrible stories about how much worse it could be until you quit whining. When you are confused, I will use little words. When you are sick, stay the hell away from me until you are well again. I don't want whatever you have. When you fall, I will point and laugh at your clumsy ass. And this is my oath I pledge to the end. Why, you may ask, because you are my fucking friend." And I'll leave you with some facts about Chuck Norris here also today. Chuck Norris can whistle while he talks. When Alexander Bell invented the telephone, he had 3 missed calls from Chuck Norris. Fear of spiders is called arachnophobia. Fear of tight spaces is called claustrophobia. Fear of Chuck Norris is called logic. Chuck Norris doesn't call the wrong number, you answer the wrong phone. Chuck Norris won American Idol using only sign language. Chuck Norris threw a grenade and killed 50 people, then the grenade exploded. When there used to be a street named after Chuck Norris, but it was changed because nobody crossed Chuck Norris lives. Chuck Norris does not have a Twitter account because no one is stupid enough to follow Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris died 20 years ago. Death just hasn't built up the courage to tell him yet. If you rate this 5 roundhouse kicks when Chuck Norris will roundhouse kick Justin Bieber's ass. Chuck Norris has already been to Mars. That's why there's no sign of life. Chuck Norris is awake 25 hours a day. Chuck Norris is a grizzly bear carpet in his has a grizzly bear carpet in his room. The bear isn't dead. It's just afraid to move. Chuck ghosts sit around campfires and tell Chuck Norris stories. Once a cop pulled over Chuck Norris, the cop was lucky to leave with a warning. Chuck Norris won the World Series of Poker using Pokemon cards. So here's a few more. And Chuck Norris doesn't flush the toilet. He scares the shit out of it. Chuck Norris doesn't swim. He beats the crap out of the water until it takes him wherever he wants to go. Chuck Norris can cut through a hot knife with butter. Chuck Norris once urinated in a semi-truck gas tank as a joke. That truck is now known as Optimus Prime. All right, with that, I'm going to bring the CCMP podcast to an end. We will be meeting, as of this podcast, we are down to less than 100 days before the symposium. And to all that have listened to this, I hope you enjoy this. I'm actually having a lot of fun doing it. And at some point, I really need to try to get a way to have other people on here with me and to actually get their points of view on stories. And hopefully by at the latest year 6, I will do that. I don't know. And like I said, I'm going to keep trying to push these out every week. I may have to double up somewhere simply to make all 17 before this year's symposium. Again, in Alpha Hall. So, alrighty. So, I have to quit talking here because I'm just babbling on and repeating over and over again. So, with that, I'm going to leave you with the fact that next week's episode will be year 4. And I will hopefully have a couple more news stories from the men's room, along with the year that was. And, you know, any feedback you guys want to give would be great. So with that, I guess I leave you with the CCMP motto. If you're a man, you'll understand. So with that, I am out. See you next week.